fifth dimension, beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the recombobulation area.
Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution, joined for a very special week-long recombobulating with Mr. Dan Schaefer and, of course, Aaron Zommers on the ones and twos. Gentlemen, it's October 2nd. Where has the time gone? I hope one of you remembered to wake up Billy Joe Armstrong, because I certainly forgot. How are we doing this Monday afternoon?
Doing well. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm very excited to be joining you as your co-host for this week.
Yeah, I did actually remember to hop on over by Billy Joe Armstrong and wake him up, but he said five more minutes, Dad, and rolled over. so I had the rest of the band go in there and just start playing until he got up.
Oh, poor Billy Joe. I mean, September, it seems to go faster and faster every year. It feels like 2023 just started, and now we're already down to October. So can we bust out the Halloween celebrations at this point, or is this too early? I don't know. Where do we draw the line in that regard?
I think once it hits October 1st, it's spooky season. People get excited. You know, the leaves are falling. I think it's okay. It's not
That's
like,
fair game.
It's not like getting Christmas stuff up, in the first week of November or something like that. It's a little bit different. I think we can get right into spooky season here in the fall.
I'm all about spooky season, so I am game for that. And we're joined by Dan Schaefer this week. He will be helping us out on the show for the week. We're very excited to have a full week of recombobulating, and we have a lot of headlines that we're going to have to get to. So many, in fact, that we're not going to get done today. It's going to take a full week of recombobulating to get back to cover all of those. You look at the Friday into the weekend, we, of course, had the government shutdown averted. We had some big news in the Milwaukee sports world that will actually be our first topic of conversation today, Dan. We had Senator Feinstein's passing on Friday that we covered on the show. But first and foremost, because we are gracious hosts here, Aaron and I, and we very much love our guests in a way that Luke can't ever equal. So we want to give you the opportunity to talk about your absolute favorite subject, the Milwaukee Bucks. Big, big trade coming through at the end of last week. Dan, you want to get right into it?
Yeah, I know this is a topic that Luke never really wants to get around to on this show. Of course,
he claims like he wants to talk about it, but then when the time is up, it's like, oh, shucks, Dan, we didn't get the chance. Sorry.
Yeah. It's, we always seem to run out of time to talk about the Bucks whenever Luke's on the show, but I'm glad that we finally have the opportunity now. And obviously it is a very exciting week to be a Milwaukee Bucks fan with the team trading for Damian Lillard. I think his press conference at Bucks Media Day just wrapped up. Some exciting stuff there. I was downtown over the weekend when the Milwaukee Bucks had a welcome rally for Damian Lillard at the Deer District outside Fiserv Forum. There was about 5,000 people there. Excitement was just off the charts. This is such a big trade and big deal for the Milwaukee Bucks, and the excitement going into the season now has just elevated to a degree that it's just going to be, you know, I've heard from the team that their season tickets are going off the charts. The ratings for the team, you know, just so much interest. I saw one reporter say he was rerouting his media day schedule for this week, instead of covering the Los Angeles Lakers, was coming to Milwaukee. So that really shows you that it's a big deal. Damian Lillard, now a member of the Milwaukee Bucks, joining forces with Giannis Antetokounmpo, looking for another championship in Milwaukee. Very, very exciting times to be a Milwaukee sports fan. That's for sure.
There is a little piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel last week. Bucks fans hustle to buy tickets as prices jump up after Damian Lillard trade. Jerseys being printed to keep up with demand, like you noted, Dan. Ticket prices for the home opener against the Sixers on October 26th shot up to more than $120 per ticket on the resale market. Season ticket packages are in high demand. Dustin Godsey, the chief sales and marketing officer for the Bucks and Pfizer Forum, said, quote, "We had repped on the phone until 9 o'clock last night answering calls. Back in at 7 a.m. this morning, phone still ringing off the hook. Tickets are going to go quick. We are now down to a few hundred full season ticket packages. I encourage people to buy 10-game partial plans." There is a lot of energy. There is a lot of excitement coming for Damian Lillard to be coming to Milwaukee. Though, Dan, I got to take the opposite side of it, at least for now, in that I love me some Drew Holiday. I'm going to miss Drew so much. Keep in mind, this is the 3 out of the last 4, I believe. Let me confirm that. Yeah, 2020, 2022, and 2023 Teammate of the Year award. Now, to be fair, the 2021 Teammate of the Year, who broke up the back-to-back-to-back-to-back Holiday championship run here, was Damian Lillard. So it's not like the Bucks aren't getting a scrub teammate here in return. But Drew and Lauren Holiday also were the winners of the 2023 Muhammad Ali Sports Humanitarian Award. They have the Drew and Lauren Social Impact Fund. I mean, I think you could make the argument that the Holidays are two of the goats of giving back, I guess. Not just in professional basketball, but in North American sports. Any community is lucky to have those two as members, and we're gonna miss Drew a lot, not just for his talent on the court. Let's note, you know, he is a two-time NBA All-Star. He's a three-time first team defense, including 2021 and 2023 with the Bucks. He's a two-time All-Defensive second team, including 2022 with the Bucks. I mean, this guy, both on and off the court, is exemplary. He's one of the best in the business, arguably the best on-ball perimeter defender in basketball. I'm going to miss Drew Holiday a lot.
Yeah, I will too. I think, you know, as soon when the time comes, his jersey is absolutely going in the rafters at Pfizer Forum. His contributions really elevated the Bucks from contenders to champions. And
he got a lot of flack. Remember that trade? There was a lot of people that were upset that the Bucks made that trade at that time.
Yeah, they thought they were giving up too much, you know, sending out so many draft picks and some valuable players in that deal. But, you know, I was somebody who was driving the train at the time to say that the Bucks should trade for Drew Holiday. I thought he would be a perfect fit with Giannis and Chris Middleton in Milwaukee. The fit did certainly produce a championship. So, you know, it was a great thing. But I think when you have an opportunity to trade for Damian Lillard, keep that championship window open, especially as Giannis has kind of been dialing up the pressure on the organization this summer to commit to winning. I think, you know, you can't really commit any further than the Bucks have, but, you know, I think every draft pick that they have from now through 2030 has been now tied up in a trade, whether it was for the Drew Holiday trade or for Damian Lillard trade. So that is, you know, obviously going above and beyond to commit to winning in Milwaukee. It's kind of, oh, you know, I wrote about this. Yeah, I usually write about, you know, political opinion pieces at the Recombobulation area. When something really big happens with the Milwaukee Bucks, I gotta write a Bucks column, which is what I did last week. And so, you know, I think this is just such an exciting moment for Milwaukee. You basically have two of the top 10 players in the NBA on the same team with Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard. I think they will really complement each other well. But like you said, we will, of course, miss Drew Holiday, an amazing two-way player on, you know, and his contributions on and off the court. I know he still does things in New Orleans where he played before joining the Bucks. So hopefully his off the court contributions with the Drew and Lauren Holiday Foundation will continue, even though he is going to be in Boston. That is not my favorite part of this outcome either, that Drew is now not headed to Portland, but will be headed to the Boston Celtics as part of this deal. You know, it's going to be a good rivalry between Milwaukee and Boston, that's for sure.
And that was the next point I was going to mention. You know, the talking heads love to have these conversations throughout the offseason. Who's the favorite? Who should we be most worried about? It's hard to win an NBA championship, right? The Bucks have arguably been the strongest roster in basketball for 3-4 seasons now. We got one championship out of it. We had a couple one seeds. Obviously, Giannis won a couple MVPs as well. It's not easy to go out there and actually be the best team in the NBA for the entirety of the season and then follow through with that championship. The Bucks obviously strengthening their rosters pretty significantly, bringing in Damian Lillard, a top 10 player in the league and a top 75 player of all time, I believe, when the NBA did their recent top 75 last offseason, I want to say. The pick and roll game between the two of them is deadly. This is arguably the best combination you could have possibly put with Giannis. But now the Boston Celtics turned around, brought in Drew Holiday to shore up their starting lineup. Remember that they moved on from Marcus Smart this offseason. I believe he was in the Porzingis trade. So they needed another defensive stopper at the top of their roster, and they brought that in. So the Bucks and the Celtics, you know, they're one-upping each other, not just reloading, but building into their arsenal. It's going to be really fun to watch that the two of those juggernauts go at it in the Eastern Conference this year. One thing I want to touch on as well, Dan, that you noted briefly, Giannis has made it clear that he did not want to commit unless the Bucks were willing to also commit to show, hey, we're all in on you. We're all in on this championship run. You noted that the Bucks don't control any of their picks through 2030, which is that's all that's allowed in the NBA. You're allowed to go 7 years into the future. So the Bucks have essentially given up the entirety of their draft war chest in order to secure talent for the championship window today. Remember that Giannis, a couple of years ago, when asked if there was one player in the NBA that you would like to play with, who would it be? He chose Damian Lillard. Well, Damian Lillard also tweeted in May of 2022 when asked if you could play with one player in the NBA in present time, who would it be? Damian Lillard also said Giannis. So this has been a bit of a bro fest going back a couple of years. I looked into it a little bit. Evidently, they had each been trying for years to convince the other to go to their hometown. Damian wanted Giannis to come to Milwaukee or to Portland really bad. Giannis was like, no, we got it made here, brother. You come to Milwaukee. And finally, with Portland getting some young guards themselves, deciding to move on, it was Damian's time to move on, and it is now Dame time in Milwaukee as Dalla Dame is coming to join the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, definitely some breadcrumbs over the years to lead to this moment of Giannis and Lillard joining forces in Milwaukee. It seems like they've definitely been in the Mutual Appreciation Society of each other's games. You know, Giannis taking Lillard first in the All-Star game last year over Drew Holiday. A lot of people have rerun, that clip over the past few days. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see them on the court together in less than a month now. So very
less than a month. The season's coming up fast. We got plenty more conversations to have today on Town Call. If you'd like to participate in the forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Shivers down your spine. Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, or take the show with you on the go. Download the Civic Media app. You can engage with us right from the app. You can call or text in. Head on over to the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Type in Civic Media. It's free and easy to download. We got a special week ahead of us right now, joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area for a full week of recombobulating. And Dan, we were talking the big Bucks trade. I had to give you the opportunity to talk about your first love, the Milwaukee Bucks, that has been, dangled in front of you like the carrot for all of these appearances going back months and months and months now, that finally we've had the opportunity to talk about the Bucks. And you and I were talking about a tweet that we saw from Noah Hurley that was noting what John Horst did to eventually land Damian Lillard. You know, like it kind of like the 6 degrees of separation joke, but turning all of these picks into different picks and players and eventually working its way up the line. And he noted that Horse turned Greg Monroe, Matthew Dellavedova, John Henson, Sam Merrill, 5 first-round picks, and 4 second-round picks into Damian Lillard. Going back, you know, a second-round pick, Dellavedova and Henson became George Hill. First and second, and Greg Monroe became Eric Bledsoe, who along with George Hill and 3 more picks became Drew Holiday. Then you had Sam Merrill and 2 picks becoming Grayson Allen. Holiday, Allen, and a first becoming Damian Lillard. Like, we've done this in the past in some of my fantasy football leagues, kind of like tracing what crazy trades eventually work their way up to be the best player in the league. And it's really remarkable, I think, what John Horse has done in this regard. Not that those aren't, you know, talented players, but the NBA, I think, in particular, compared to, say, the NFL or Major League Baseball, the NBA is very, very star-driven. When you only have 5 players on the court at a single time, one dominant player can be much more valuable than 3 or 4 very good players. You look at the Angels, right? They have Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, arguably the 2 of the 5 greatest players of all time on the same team at the same time, and they have not made the playoffs since. But in the NBA, you have LeBron James, who was essentially a freebie to get to the NBA championship for, you know, a 10 or 12 year window, no matter who you put around him. The NBA is driven by stars. You need to have the best players on the court at all time. And it's incredibly impressive what the Milwaukee Bucks have been able to build here.
Yeah, and now you have, you know, arguably the best player in the league in Giannis Antetokounmpo. And now Damian, I was checking the rankings. You know, they have these different rankings that who the best players in the NBA are. I saw CBS had a ranking that had Damian Lillard at 10th. So you have 2 of the 10 best players in the league on the Milwaukee Bucks. As you said, a very star-driven league, much different than baseball or football. You have those 2 players, and then also at all-star caliber players in Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez rounding out the rest of that top 4 in the team. It's going to be really, really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're done yet. Obviously, the depth pieces still need to be built in. Did you see that Malcolm Brogdon was part of the Drew Holiday trade?
That means... Yeah.
There's another wily veteran guard that Portland might not want to give minutes to as they try to bring up their young talent. I'm not saying that the Bucks have to swing back in, but I'm not saying that they're not going to. Boy, would that be hilarious.
Well, it would be funny, too, because, you know, when the Bucks made that trade for Drew Holiday, some of the picks that they used to land Holiday were ones that they got from trading Malcolm Brogdon the offseason before. And so that would just be very serendipitous for the Drew Holiday, Damian Lillard, Malcolm Brogdon trades to return him to Milwaukee. I don't know if that's exactly likely given the contracts and all that, but it would be something else.
It would be difficult to work out, but it would certainly make for happy Bucks fans, at least on this show. If you'd like to contribute to the show, give us a call or shoot us a text today, 844-967-2789. We're talking Milwaukee Bucks, and I think I want to continue the sports conversation for a little bit, Dan, as long as I got you here on a Monday. We got to talk about it because it was all over the presentation last night. Aaron Rodgers at MetLife Stadium in a box suite for the Jets game, 17 days post-surgery, already walking around on crutches. I don't know, Dan. I made this joke with a couple friends of mine, but if that 40-year-old body is able to recover from a complete tearing of the Achilles tendon and play again in the same season, I might have to be all in on all his other wacky kooky stuff. Like, does he know something that we don't know? Does dolphin mating sounds really make a difference? I don't know. Who am I to say? Because clearly he's getting results if he's able to get that 39-year-old body back out there again this quickly. Like, that's incredible.
Maybe those ayahuasca trips can heal an Achilles tendon. We're all learning new things through Aaron.
Am I all in on ayahuasca now? Am I all in on everything he has said? I'm sold. Yeah. Rodgers bought me over. I'm going to completely change my worldview 180 degrees if he's able to get that old body back on the field in 5 or 6 months. That is incredible. But
careful, Will. You're about to get canceled.
What was his quote? Before the woke cancel culture puts the final nail in my cancel culture coffin or something. I don't know. He's a character. I'd rather not give him props. But boy, that would be impressive if he was able to return this quickly.
Yeah, he's a millionaire personality. He can get away with saying that stuff.
Yeah, me not so much. But Dan, something that you touched on as well that that I want to jump into, meat and potatoes part of this conversation. We had a piece over from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley's budget turns the page from cuts into investments. As my local Milwaukee guru here, you are the very first person that I want to go to whenever I have questions regarding the city and the county of Milwaukee. What are your thoughts on this piece from JS Online?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is kind of the culmination of a whole lot of work that has happened and a lot of the debates that we had throughout the year on shared revenue and local sales taxes. You know, one of the biggest pieces of legislation to pass the state this year, and one of the biggest pieces of that was funding for Milwaukee County. And I think, you know, just thinking back on, you know, I've been a journalist in Milwaukee for 12 years now, and if four now with the recombobulation area. The second piece that I wrote for the recombobulation area once I launched it in 2019 was about the county's looming funding crisis and the need to address it. And I think it is such a remarkable moment that we talked about every budget that I've covered with Milwaukee County has involved cuts. And this is the first one that is not going to involved cuts in the time that I've been covering Milwaukee County. I think, you know, credit to Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley for making this happen. Credit to the members of the Milwaukee County Board for being part of it too. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see how, as they hammer out the final details, but to have a budget that increases the transit budget, to have a budget that increases the parks budget and increases, and also while lowering property taxes for Milwaukee County. I think this is such a significant moment where we can start to see the turning of the dial, where it's kind of, instead of staving off these fiscal cliffs, starting to turn the dial towards investing in the county, investing in the residents and the services that the very critical services that the county provides. So I think this is, you know, I will, of course, as I often do before I make any final judgments, wait for the Wisconsin Policy Forum analysis of the county's budget before I, you know, form my own opinions, watch the debates at the county board as it goes forward. But I think this is something to celebrate for Milwaukee County. And no longer, you know, ever since Scott Walker was county executive, when Chris Abley was county executive, we were always talking about cuts. Now with Crowley as county executive, this fiscal cliff averted with this shared revenue and local sales tax deal, I think this is a remarkable moment for Milwaukee County.
I too, Dan, am a big fan of waiting for people that are smarter than me to dive into the numbers and tell me the crux of the argument, and then I will make my determination after the fact. I think this is a big moment too, because austerity doesn't work in the long run, and you mentioned it. Being able to show the power of government, what can government do for you, is going to be vital, not just in Milwaukee, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country as we have this conversation, kind of really at the national level as well. It's coming to the forefront. You look at the government shutdown that was averted this weekend over concerns of spending, right? A government is fundamentally different than a private corporation in the sense that governments can do things for their citizens that a corporation cannot do because it's not driven by profit motive, A, and B, it's able to spend in the red. There's a reason that we have a massive national debt, but as long as the country is able to pay back these debts, it does not hurt you in the long run. You are, again, fundamentally different than a corporate entity. This opportunity to really show the people of Milwaukee what a government that works for the people can do for you, the type of programs that we can offer people, the beauty of our local parks that we can have available for the public to spend time in and enjoy their community in a way that's better reflective of the places that they live and the people that they want to spend with. I think this is monumental. I agree with you completely.
Yeah, and I'll quote in that Journal Sentinel story on Crowley's budget proposal. There's a quote from Rob Henkin of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and I think it's pretty notable. I'll just read it verbatim here. It is just a remarkable and almost unfathomable turn of events to see Milwaukee County with a large budget surplus to be able to strategically invest in 2024. I started analyzing county budgets back in 1998 and I can assure you this is the first time that there has been an opportunity for sizable new investment. That's an incredible thing. You know, we've seen the public sector in Milwaukee get hollowed out over the years. You know, back in the late night, I've covered transit a lot in the region. This is, I think, just one example that highlights, you know, the type of change that the city has seen, the county has seen. In the late 90s, Milwaukee was recognized as having the best transit system in the country.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. People don't always realize that Milwaukee twice in the 1990s was recognized as having the best transit system in the country. And then then some scandals came along, and then Scott Walker came along, and then the budget really never recovered. And Walker cut so much, you know, and I think we have to think about, you know, how much of a sea change it really is to have, you know, Scott Walker as the county executive as recently as 2010, and David Crowley as the county executive now in 2023, and how different that leadership is. And instead of, you know, turning the dial towards cuts and austerity, I think the Crowley and the administration there at the county is going to have some more targeted investments, you know, in things like parks and transit, where instead of figuring out which bus routes we're going to cut, you know, starting to think about, hey, can we build a new second BRT line? Can we expand transit services? Can we put more into our parks? Can we put more into paratransit taxi services for seniors? So many different things that has been hollowed out over the years. And now is finally at a moment where we can start making some investments instead of stop averting these fiscal cliffs and start really building for the future in Milwaukee County. It's a really exciting time.
Mm-hmm. And some of the investments, you noted them, Dan, in an effort to invest in resources for Milwaukee County's unsheltered populations, Crowley proposed investing in the county's homeless outreach team and housing first model with an additional $1.5 million, an additional $200,000 for housing vouchers for individuals released from the Community Reintegration Center. The Parks Department operating budget will increase by $2.6 million. The proposed budget will increase pretrial mental health services by $1.6 million, a proposed $170,000 allocated for aging populations. What can government do for you? This is what they can do for you. We can expect our government to work on behalf of the people in these communities if you, A, elect people that truly agree with your worldview, and B, focus on these community programs and the, again, communal ability of government to build these relationships and offer these protections to its citizens.
We can get more done by working together. That's what government can do. And I think, you know, you mentioned a lot of those examples. I think one of the other interesting things, I think this was actually in a different piece than the JS one, affordable housing in the suburbs. Crowley's the first county executive in Milwaukee to do that. Continuing to make those investments is going to make such a big difference.
One step at a time. We're going to continue this conversation on a Monday. It's October. Dan Schaefer is here. This is Town Call. We'll be right back. Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, or take the show with you on the go. Download the Civic Media app. You can engage with us right from the app. You can call or text in. Head over to the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Type in Civic Media. It's free and it is easy to download. We have a very special week ahead of us as we are going to be recombobulating all week with Mr. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. And Dan, we didn't get a chance on Friday. We were so busy with the just tons and tons of headlines that came out that we had to cover. We didn't get to do Friday headlines of the week, so I thought I'd push it back to Monday. Well, then on Monday, we had a lot of other stuff that we had to cover too. It is never ending in the state of Wisconsin, but I want to jump into some of the best headlines of the week that we had from last Friday, because we won't be able to do it this Friday either. Very, very special guest coming on the show on Friday of this week, and I will let you know who that will be tomorrow as we prepare for it. But jumping into my first headline of the week from last Friday, Dan, a piece over from Up North News. the life of a road dog. Hop aboard the Wienermobile with a Wisconsin hot dogger. The article notes you have a better chance of getting into Harvard than becoming a hot dogger. The Ivy League university accepts 4% of applicants. Oscar Mayer only accepts 1%. Every year, the meat company scouts 12 new hot doggers to drive its iconic Wienermobile cross-country as part of the brand's most well-known marketing strategy. Since the hot dogger program launched in 1988, recent college grads must commit to a one-year contract and travel 20,000 miles across 20-plus states to promote the brand through social media posts and personal interactions. It's a good thing most hot doggers consider the experience priceless, because unfortunately the role only pays $36,000 a year. But one of this year's hot doggers, recent UW grad Samantha Benish, sat down with Up North News to answer any questions anyone might have about the Wienermobile. That is about as Wisconsin as it gets, Dan.
Absolutely. There's been a lot of, I think the last time I was on, there were some Wienermobile related headlines too. You know, it's very, you know, it's become ubiquitous in the news lately, these Wienermobile stories. I guess they're trying to, they had their failed rebrand and now they're getting back to it, showing how rare it is for somebody to be able to drive that. I don't know if I could drive something like that.
That would be difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think this went exactly like I knew it would, and like a lot of other people said, that the Frankmobile, no, that's stupid. No one likes that. They're doing this to get some attention so that when they change it back, everyone's like, oh, thank goodness.
They listen to us. They're so open and willing to be heard.
This was not planned the entire time or anything.
Well, we're playing along with it by continuing talking that's about true. It, but it's too much fun to not talk about it, so I had to give it a shout out. Dan, I know you got a great headline that's pretty pertinent based on what we talked about today. It is your turn, Mr. Schaefer.
Yeah, I'm staying on brand as ever here, right? So my headline is from TMJ4 News. Watch Giannis Antetokounmpo try bratwurst for the first time ever. And I don't know if you saw the video that Giannis posted to social media over the weekend. He was saying that he was somehow said he was trying brats for the first time. Now, I know he's been in Milwaukee since 2013. If this is actually his
first brat, I'm
not sure if I'm buying that. But he had a couple brats while he was on the video saying he loves America, which, you know, as somebody who lives in Milwaukee and will eat a brat, that's often my reaction to eating a brat while in Milwaukee, Wisconsin as well, saying I love America because of enjoying a brat in this wonderful city. But I do think, you know, this is kind of one of those things that Giannis has done over the years. He'll try something new and get a bunch of reaction from it. We know the famous smoothie tweet from his rookie year. You know, once Giannis is done with his playing days, he could just, you know, get a show on the Food Network trying new things. I think, you know, he's the sense of amazement that he has with it is always such a joy.
Giannis Antetokounmpo's Travel America. Just stick him in the back of Guy Fieri's car and let him go hit up all these restaurants and small time shops all across the country. I did love the quote where he said, you know, obviously he's from Greece, but he tells people he's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That man just lives and breathes Milwaukee, except of course, I have to give criticism where criticism is due, much like we love to give credit where credit's due. Who puts a ketchup on a brat, Giannis? Come on, you're better than that.
That is maybe that's, you know, it's a beginner move with the brat. You know, he's got to work his way up to the sauerkraut, or I go with mustard and onions on the brat typically.
Yeah, I'm a big mustard guy. Can you imagine if the PR team is sitting there and they're like, Giannis, all right, we need to convince people this is your first brat ever. How can we do that? Put ketchup on it. Brilliant. Yeah. Like they know he's full of it. So, all right, Dan, jump into my second headline of the week. I will also keep it sports related, reading over from wearegreenbay.com. Packers alumni hit their targets at annual Sporting Clays event. The Green Bay Packers carried on a tradition Tuesday despite the sometimes heavy rain, and all in the name of charity. Local 5 News took in the shooting action at the annual Alumni Sporting Clays event at the Woodfire Lodge at Triple J Wings and Clay in Brilliant. Part of the money generated through the friendly competition will help the nonprofit Curative Connections, which helps people maintain their independence in the face of medical challenges. Some participants were former Packers wide receiver Bill Schroeder, if you remember the name. This is a very, very Wisconsin headline as well. You know, not only Green Bay Packers, but going heading out to an annual Sporting Clays shooting event. Oh, so Wisconsin.
Almost to Wisconsin, right? You gotta like spread out the degree of Wisconsining more than that. But you know, that's a good one.
Then Dan, do you got one more headline for us for this week? Oh, my voice is cracked.
I do. We have from Up North News: Cranberry Crazies pack warrens for the Tiny Towns Giant Fest. You were looking at this one too, right? I wasn't quite aware of how giant this fest is for the Cranberry Crazies. It said 1,200 vendor booths and 140,000 visitors to this. That sounds pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Hey, Wisconsin, we love our cranberries. I believe we produce like something like 60% of all cranberries in the United States is produced in Wisconsin, right? So, I mean, that's about as Wisconsin as it gets too.
Absolutely. And you know, we always love a good excuse to get together and celebrate. You know, I'm sure there was something mixed in with some cranberry juice, I'm sure, at some point along the way with those festivals as well.
Whatever could you be implying, Dan? No, not in Wisconsin. Not the good people here where we have more bars per capita than grocery stores. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dan. This is Town Call. We got Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation here area with us all week. It's going to be a lot of fun as we jump into more headlines, not just in Wisconsin, but nationally. We got some fun coverage coming tomorrow where we will be discussing the shutdown that was averted over the weekend. Perhaps we'll touch on some of the other segments that falls into, such as student loan debt. But that is the conversation for tomorrow. If you'd like to participate in the show, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We'll see you all tomorrow. Take it easy, party people.
Fucking sex. You.